Namaha. Crucified and Ramana Boy. And in the previous text, at the beginning of the chapter, after we hear the reward and punishment of Kali, we're hearing how actually Parikshit received this curse, and at the same time how he was able to understand the personality of Godhead by submitting himself to the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Therefore this verse begins with, "This was so because those who have dedicated the life to transcendental topics." So Maharaj Parikshit was able to sit and hear from Sukadev Goswami because he had seen how his spiritual master was actually self-realized. He had realized the transcendental personality of Godhead. Therefore he was able to surrender to his lotus feet. So here we can take a few lessons. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning a few points, not only about being a proper disciple or being a proper guru, etc., being able to liberate one from the clutches of material existence, but it also speaks about how to attain that transcendental position by always seeking the association of those who are engaged in constant remembrance, in constant smarana of the topics relating to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this, of course, is very pivotal because at the end of life, it is through that association that we become fixed in our service to Krishna, we become fixed in the absolute goal of life, and that is to always remember Krishna and never to forget Him. So we have to practice this remembrance of Krishna, and that is why so much stress is given to associating with those who are constantly remembering the topics about Krishna. And this type of association, of course, comes through service. We not only get to hear the philosophy of Krishna, to hear about his energies, his potencies, etc., but for us to be able to live it every day, we have to come to a point of realizing that knowledge, realizing who Bhagavan is, and that realization comes through a service demeanor, it comes through service attitude, and that service is rendered in the association of devotees. So our remembrance, our constant kirtan and smarana about the Supreme Personality of God is easily achieved by associating with those who are acting in that way. So, an example that we can derive from this beginning canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how the great sages at Namaisharanya actually assembled. Can anyone remember for how many years they were performing sacrifice? 1,000 year sacrifice. So this is a 1,000 years of sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So it's not for their own personal sense gratification. So the sages assembled in a holy place, Namaisharanya, right, headed by Shonaka Rishi and so many other great sages, whether Sutta Goswami was there, and they came to hear the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, which were repeated by Sukadeva Goswami and then later on by Sutta Goswami. So it was an association of personalities who were interested in constantly chanting the glories of Krishna. So for 1,000 years, they performed this sacrifice by asking questions in a humble mood to the most authorized person of speaking Bhagavatam. So they accepted an authority, and they accepted to hear from him. And their mood, or their mode of question, was one that is done with submission and humility. So hearing Bhagavatam, of course, in itself is a service, because we're engaging our ears, we're engaging our body in hearing transcendental topics for the pleasure of Krishna and the pleasure of Guru. So these brahmana and these great souls use the region of Namaisharanya for 1,000 years just to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So questions and answers, of course, were there, and they patiently and inquisitively sat and heard these transcendental topics. So Srila Prabhupada in this section is explaining how Maharaj Parikshit accepted Sukadev Goswami, because he could see how Sukadev Goswami had this quality of always being engaged in the transcendental topics about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that way, at the last moment of his life, he would not be bewildered by any misconceptions, because we do have so many misconceptions relating to our gross body, relating to the subtle body, our own misconceptions due to contact with the modes of material nature, who we think we are, our genders, our sexes, our occupations, social occupations, spiritual occupations. We get caught up in all these different labelings. But one who is in complete understanding of the Brahman, one who is in understanding of the personality, Bhagavan, is able to actually see that we're nothing but servants of Krishna. And because we are sparks emanating from that fire, we are eternally at his lotus feet, whether we choose to remember it or not. We are fully dependent on the mercy of Krishna. So our position is to actually become reinstated in that position, in that service attitude to Krishna. So our business in life, of course, as the sages would ask, what is the business of human beings in this age of Kali? And our business is to actually reawaken that dormant love for Krishna by practicing the process of devotional service. And this process of devotional service is revealed to a sincere soul, to a sincere disciple, after showing Krishna in the heart, because the super soul is guiding the living entity. The super soul is offering remembrance, forgetfulness. The super soul is maintaining our existence, guiding us from point A to B. So when the super soul sees that we are actually ready to hear about Krishna, he manifests himself externally as the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is responsible for endowing the disciple with scientific knowledge about Krishna. So earlier on as well, when the sages are asking questions to their leader, to Sukadeva Goswami, they explain how it's because of a submissive mood by a disciple that one is actually able to understand Krishna. So it is not by our own endeavor, it is not by critique, it is not by thinking that we're the best that we get to understand Krishna, even if Krishna offers us the opulences of material existence. Janmaishwarya Shuddha should be. Even if we are the most beautiful, even if we come from a well-to-do family, even if we have good health, we have longevity, all these things are actually not required. They are not angles of bhakti in themselves. The easiest way to make spiritual advancement, of course, it is to have this submissive mood. And this is the secret of success in spiritual life. Right? In a submissive manner, inquire from the Guru. And in this way, the spiritual master gives sincere blessings. And every single morning we sing the Guru Astakam song from Bhashya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explaining the relevance of the spiritual master in the living entity attaining perfection and realization of the self and realization of Krishna. Understanding that everything ultimately is coming from Krishna via the medium of the spiritual master. So because we do not have the qualification to hear from Super Soul directly, Super Soul manifests himself in the form of a spiritual master. So the spiritual master gives us scientific knowledge on how to realize Krishna. So there's a conversation that happens later on in the fourth canto between Narada Muni and Prachinabharishad after the whole allegorical story of Maharaj Puranjana, how the living entity becomes embedded in so many misconceptions of life, bodily misconceptions, subtle misconceptions between family, friends, nation, community, etc. In a Prabhupada text 14, the 29th chapter, Srila Prabhupada is quoting a verse actually. I'll just read it. Srila Prabhupada states, "The word Bhagavad Guna Kadhana Shravanam Vyagra Chetasa, meaning always eager to find the place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees." So Sukadeva Goswami was very eager to hear. Sri Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear from his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami. And therefore we see this conversation going on 7 days, you know, for 7 days non-stop, question and answers. In different places we see how Sukadeva Goswami becomes extremely inspired to see the disciple inquiring in such a submissive mood, always asking, so what is the absolute truth? What is that by which, you know, living entities in this Kali Yuga can actually achieve success? What are the inclinations of the Supreme Lord and how does he act? So many questions Maharaj Parikshit is asking and showing great enthusiasm to know. So this was very inspiring for Sukadeva Goswami to continue speaking. And we, of course, we understand this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He wants his devotees to be glorified, one, and two, of course, in order for Kali Yuga to flourish, Maharaj Parikshit had to exit from this world because it was not possible for Kali Yuga to reside because of the potency of King Parikshit. So it was Krishna's arrangement and the devotee accepted the service he had to perform. So he accepted the curse although he was powerful enough to retract or counter curse, but he did not do that. He saw everything as the direct arrangement of Krishna. So in the association of pure devotees, discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. So by constant shravanam kirtanam leads to Vishnu smaranam, which is very important, especially at the end of our life. At the end of our life, Prabhupada here mentions that the body is going to be deranged, the body functions, the airs, the everything is going to be topsy-turvy, right? Based on our level of spiritual awareness of our consciousness, we'll react in different ways. But the devotee, of course, is by Krishna's grace, forced to remember Krishna. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna will force himself upon your consciousness. So we can only become conscious of an activity, or we can only have strong smaranam if our entire Krishna conscious career is focused on hearing about Krishna and discussing topics about Krishna. Then all these things actually become embedded in our consciousness. And even if we think at the point of death we're going to forget Krishna, but because we've done so much shravanam, kirtanam, and Vishnu smaranam, all these topics about Krishna will awaken in the consciousness. We can see reminders of these, you know, if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for at least less than 10 years, as soon as you see it or you hear a certain sound that you used to be attracted to, a certain material sound, it brings back so many different impressions, so many different remembrances of things we used to do as non-devotees. So immediately it triggers. what you speak of just chanting or thinking of Krishna at the point of death, it will trigger more thoughts about Krishna, things that we used to do to remind ourselves of Krishna. That is why in the previous days we were hearing these nine potent forms of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada had packed into the morning program in the ISKCON temples. Everything from Shravan, Kirtan, Vishnu Smaranam, to Parasevam, Asanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, all these different items are meant to solidify or condense our consciousness with Krishna. So that at any point in time, we actually do not know when we're going to die. It can be any moment, it can be any minute, it can be any hour. We do not know what the material energy is going to do. We do not know how Krishna's plans are existing. So at any minute we can go. So rather become Krishna conscious, rather spend every single day trying to engage as much as we can in these nine processes of bhakti. So the point is not to wait till the end to practice hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. So when we cultivate knowledge about Krishna from our Shravanam and our Kirtanam, there grows a great attraction for performing devotional service. So when you hear about the glories of someone who is so great, who is so magnificent, who is so kind and loving, you can read all of these attributes of Krishna in Nectar of Devotion, how Krishna has different dealings, exchanges with his pure devotees, with any devotee or with any living entity who shows interest in trying to know Krishna. Then it inspires us to serve that person. We understand this person is my well-wisher. And when we serve someone indirectly, we're actually accepting him as better than ourselves. Because you cannot serve someone if you think you're better than them. You can't. It's not possible. It's done in a gradual mood, so you can mechanically do it. But the process of bhakti is so powerful that in the beginning, we might think we're great. We might be proud and think that I cannot accept authority or I cannot accept a guru. But just by the power of that devotee's devotional service, we take that submissive role and accept authority. So many people would come to see Srila Prabhupada and they would hammer Srila Prabhupada with different questions, thinking that he's just an old Indian Swami. But because Srila Prabhupada had such spiritual potency, he was commanding that respect based on his character and his personality. People would just accept him as the proper guru. So many reporters we can see in the DVDs following Srila Prabhupada or Prabhupada memories, people would come in such a negative mood, not even showing proper respect or acknowledging Srila Prabhupada's position, but they would leave palms folded or they would try to bow down. So in the end they could see the position of Srila Prabhupada, that he was actually, by the potency of his devotional service, he would command that respect, because he was completely beyond the dualities of material existence. So a submissive disciple, as it says in the purport, is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of life. And this transcendental existence has to have a strong spiritual foundation. Therefore, as I mentioned, it is very important to actually surround yourself with those who are constantly hearing the glories of Uttama Shloka, constantly discussing amongst one another topics related to Krishna. Because unless we're discussing Krishna, what else are we discussing? We're discussing ourselves. We're discussing how we are the center, how we should get this, how we should do this, how we are achieving, it's all about us. And actually existence, according to the Vedic text, it is not about me, myself and I. It is about Krishna, the source of all transcendental pleasure. And because our pleasure, our happiness comes from Him, we focus our strength and our energies in service to Him. And by serving Him, automatically we become satisfied and pleased, because that is our nature and it can never change. And we can be considered socially a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Amalacha, whatever. But our intrinsic quality, our intrinsic nature is that we are servant of Krishna. That no one can change. Even if we do not accept it, but it is a fact. We serve. We can either serve Krishna through His external energy, or we can be intelligent and serve Him properly in a way that is most pleasing to Him and to ourselves by performing the process of bhakti or devotional service. So in Bhagavad Gita, also Arjuna, while conversing with Krishna, after understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, and after accepting Krishna as His Guru, Arjuna continues to ask questions, and Krishna is also inspired to continue giving knowledge to Arjuna. And up to the point where Arjuna says, okay, now I'm going to pick up my bow and arrow and I'm going to fight. And that fighting spirit was based on knowledge. So by using that knowledge in service, Arjuna could realize what his life was meant for. There's no point in becoming an armchair philosopher if we're not going to act and work for Krishna. So it's not only enough to hear about Krishna, but we actually then serve, we perform service for Krishna. And it is through that service that we actually get to realize the transcendental personality of Krishna. But our service is backed up, of course, with hearing and chanting and constant remembrance of Krishna. But if that does not lead us to acting, or if it does not lead us to serving Krishna, then there's no point to our so-called having philosophical knowledge, because it is not used in a proper way. That philosophical knowledge leads us to becoming proud, thinking that I'm very much in the mode of Sattva Gun, I have knowledge, I have understanding, I'm better than everyone. They do not know about the Mahatattva, creation, sub-creation, about mukti, etc. But unless we use these attributes and perform devotional service simultaneously, we cannot realize what we are reading. And that is why we hear these sages. They would meditate for years and years on the verses they had heard from Srimad Bhagavatam. And after that meditation, then they would perform the service of hearing, of speaking, of performing deity worship, etc. They would serve Krishna, not just sit idly. And through that service attitude, our strong determination and faith in seeing Krishna face to face will increase. So at the end of life, when we're facing the great exit from the material body, we're not filled with so many different misconceptions about who we are, where we're going, and what we're going to do. It's all been figured out in this entire time we were following the nine angas of bhakti. So there is no fear. But a devotee is fearless because they know they are at the shelter of one who is beyond birth, death, old age, and disease. The spiritual master is the direct portal out of this material creation. And because Krishna himself explains how this spiritual master is none different from himself, and how he should be treated as good as God, because he is directly acting on behalf of Krishna. That says Uddhava was directly acting on behalf of Krishna, delivering the message to the gopis. So the words, the actions are actually being inspired by Krishna for the specified living entities. So by adhering to the instructions of the spiritual master, in a mood of course, humility, wanting to know, placing ourselves as I don't want to say insignificant, but placing ourselves as, we could say insignificant without having any knowledge, we inquire from the spiritual master. And the spiritual master gives us instruction and encourages us to perform devotional service. And over time, that devotional service will grow and magnify, and it will devour the false ego. It will devour all the misconceptions that might come back to haunt us at the point of death. Like I said, death can come at any minute. It doesn't necessarily mean we'll live till 80 or 90 or 75. It can come any minute. So why not just be Krishna conscious every moment? Why wait? Prabhupada makes a very firm statement. He says, by the grace of the Lord and His bona fide representative, one can get this opportunity of always remembering Krishna at any moment. So our actions show, our actions reveal where we're at in terms of our Krishna consciousness. What are we engaging in? How are we engaging our body, mind and words every single day? Because Krishna reciprocates accordingly. When Krishna is reciprocating, He's seeing all our activities. He sanctions our activities. He gives us knowledge and remembrance when we're showing great enthusiasm to know Him with the right root, of course. And if Krishna needs to correct, either directly or indirectly through the association of devotees, Krishna does so. So everything Krishna does is actually for our benefit. It is always for our benefit. So although Maharaj Parikshit, it looks like, why is a great personality being cursed by a little Brahmana boy to die in 7 days? But what is the benefit that Maharaj Parikshit is going to get? The benefit of hearing about Krishna. Although he's a pure devotee himself, pure devotees never tire of hearing the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's going to hear more about Krishna. The assembled sages are going to hear about Krishna. It is all auspicious. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara. So when Krishna is there, He just dispels all ignorance. All misconceptions go. But if we forget Krishna, they come back. So this is the point. We have to constantly engage ourselves in hearing the topics of Uttama Shloka. That is why Srila Prabhupada said we should hear Bhagavatam every morning. And we should hear from the person Bhagavat. The person Bhagavad, those who are falling in line in parampara, in the direct disciplic succession from the teachers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear from them. We do not hear from people who speak sahaja mentality. So sahaja means we cheapen the process. Sahaja means we jump from canto 1 to canto 10 because we see canto 10 is more exciting. So we do not want to become sahajas. Sahaja comes from hearing from the false persons who are not following the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, false persons who cheapen the process of devotional service. So we do not hear from them. We hear from those who are coming in direct disciplic succession. Just as in school, we hear from teachers. We don't hear from the person emptying the bin or sweeping the floor outside. Their specific occupation is to teach you philosophy, math, science, etc. So the Bhagavat, the Mahajans, Bhishma, Narada, Kapila, Vyas, Bali, Janakaraj, etc., the 12 Mahajans mentioned, Lord Shiva, they're specifically there to teach us the religious principles directly linked to Krishna. So Swamini Allah Sukadeva Goswami, the Mahajan, he is speaking himself directly Krishna. Srila Vyasa, under the guidance of Narada Muni, he wrote the essence of all, the cream of the cream, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's directly giving Krishna. So if we associate ourselves with such personalities, we do not run the risk of being contaminated or having misconceptions at the point of death. This is the point. So we can avoid all of that by just constant shravanam kirtanam from the right source coming in disciplined succession with a mood of humility and service. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mahatma.
Srila Prabhupada has given to me for by scientific adaptation, one can remember Lord at the time of death. Mm-hmm. What is scientific adaptation?
Scientific adaptation, well, bhakti yoga is a science. So gradually, once you come from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, all these different processes lead to one another. By the nine angles of bhakti, Shravan Ketana Vishnu Smaranam, if we follow that science, if we follow it properly, then we can reach the destination. So bhakti is a science, it's not just a whimsical, oh, today I'm going to be peaceful and chant, or do this and that, but the entire process is very scientific because it is molding your consciousness. It is rearranging your consciousness. So as Prabhupada was saying, we're being brainwashed. Our brain is dirty and it's being washed by the process of bhakti. So scientifically, the process of bhakti gets rid of our gross and subtle contamination so that we can access the transcendental realm. So by following the process of Shravana and Kirtanam given by Prahlad Maharaj and by gradually going through the purification process of Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivriti, etc. We strictly follow that, always adhering to the association of devotees, then we make progress. So the science is bhakti, the processes of bhakti.
For the students, the Prabhupada says that you must have quoted a few times, 7th canto, 5th chapter, 23-24 verse. Srila Prabhupada says that remembrance comes only by hearing and chanting. So, unless we remember, we can't remember unless the heart is pure.
You can't remember unless you don't know what you want to remember. So,
yes.
You gotta hear about it.
No, Srila Prabhupada himself is very important.
Yes.
That we can remember Krishna only when our heart is pure.
Yes.
If the heart is not pure, we'll never remember. We'll remember anything else but no Krishna.
We'll remember all the other misconceptions of life, except for the most important, Krishna.
So, I just wanted to know what is the scientific method, what you say?
The scientific method of remembrance is Shravanam Kirtanam, leading to Vishnu Smaranam. So by hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna in the Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees, performing the different exchanges, the loving exchanges between devotees, etc., you get to remember Krishna because devotees, machit matkarpana bodhayantas parasparam kathayantas chamanityantas shanticharamanticha. Devotees are always talking about Krishna. So if you surround yourself with devotees, hear and chant with devotees, guess what? You'll be talking about Krishna and you'll always be remembering Krishna. That's the science. Lord Chaitanya said, who is a devotee? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Through association. So the process is the nine angles of bhakti. That is how you remember Krishna. Okay. Yes.
I was wondering what you were talking about being to serve someone and you accept that they're better than yourself. And how do the people that are very advanced, like spiritual masters, they're always serving others. How does it work that they actually think that they're less than the people that are serving you? Because it's obvious that they're serving people that don't even know anything about Krishna right now. Mm-hmm. So how can they actually think that they're less?
Well, they always think that they're a servant. As Lord Chaitanya said, so in the Gita, Krishna says, Sava dhammam paritya mamekam sharanam bhajam. Right. Abandon all worries of religion and surrender to me. And then Lord Chaitanya comes and he gives a verse, right? Gopi Bhakti Pada Kamalyo Das 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 Andas. He's basically saying the same thing but in Lord Chaitanya's way. So a devotee is always thinking, I'm a servant. And Uttamadikari sees everyone as a pure devotee. To preach, they come to the Majjhim level and they perform more service. That's why they're so endearing to Krishna, because there's no pride. Although they're the most advanced, they're the most humble because they see Krishna in everyone. So they allow themselves to become accessible to those who are on a lower platform of existence. There's a very mystical thing how someone like Srila Prabhupada would come and cook for his devotees and sweep and mop and do so many other things and tolerate. But he said, you are all servants of my Guru Maharaj. So he's seeing Krishna everywhere. He doesn't put himself first. That's actually a pure devotee. He doesn't put himself first. He's thinking, how can my existence serve others? Sukadeva Goswami is not thinking, I'm going to be cursed. I just want to hibernate. You know, I just want to leave peacefully. No, no, no. Bhagavatam has to be spoken. I have to be in the right consciousness. That is his service. For service, the pure devotee will do anything. It's not to be imitated. It's a very advanced platform because humility is the one quality that buys Krishna. How do they fall down?
No. How do they come back to Krishna consciousness? And if they come back to Krishna consciousness, they start from the very same point that they left. Like how?
Well, it basically Krishna always retains their bhakti. So he retains their bhakti. Retain means the mood of their bhakti, their love for Krishna, it's not like it goes away because now they've become attracted to the material energy. It's there, but it becomes dormant once again. It's put on pause. You know when you're watching something, then you pause it? It stays there, it doesn't go away. So temporarily they're being distracted, but everything else is on pause. And once they regain their intelligence, they'll go back to serving Krishna. It happens naturally for some people. It's a little bit uncomfortable, difficult, embarrassment, etc. But it's not like they've lost their ability to chant and dance in kirtan or to read the books. That's always there. It's just been on pause for some time. So it's not that once they come back they're completely bewildered, they don't know what to do or how to act, but they go back and re-establish their devotional service. Okay, I think we should stop there. Then, Prashina Bhagavatam, please. Prashina Bhagavatam, please.